This is Some of Us Are Trying, written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Callus/Zeb. Summary: 5 times someone told Callus and Zeb to get a room, and 1 time they decided it for themselves. One, Kanan. Kanan was meditating in the late morning Yavin 4 sunlight when he felt their approach. Agent Callus had certainly done plenty to hurt all of them. Kanan would never forget that. But as Fulcrum, Callus had risked his life to spy for the rebellion. He'd risked himself trying to give them a warning before the attack on Adelon. Kanan would never forget that either. Having seen so much of the worst of the galaxy, Kanan found himself understanding some of the Jedi teachings he'd grown up with more. He certainly believed that even someone who had done terrible things can turn back and, not necessarily make amends, but certainly do better. Be better. As such, he didn't begrudge Callus finding personal happiness now that he was fully part of the rebellion. It was the emotions Callus and Zeb were both constantly projecting, loudly, into the Force that he could have done without. Idly, he wondered if he and Hera had been this bad when they first found their way to one another. A few heartbeats passed as those thoughts drifted through his mind, and then the pair got closer to his chosen spot. "Are you certain this is necessary, Garazeb?" Callus asked. They were still a fair distance away, but close enough that it wasn't a strain to hear. He knew Zeb well enough to know that his friend shrugged in response to that question. "Not a lot of people come out this far," Zeb pointed out. "Besides, you gotta get out of the intelligence offices more, Cal. It's like a cave in there." Callus sighed. "It serves our purposes well enough." Zeb's voice softened. "We've been going out on more and more missions," he pointed out, "and I feel like I barely get to see you when I'm here. So..." The reply was far gentler than Kanan would have expected. "I understand," Callus replied. "I'm sorry if I've been neglecting you." They were closer now. Kanan could hear the shuffle of the undergrowth. "We agreed the rebellion comes first," Zeb reminded him. "But yeah, just wanted to get you out of your office and alone for a bit is all." There was a grin in Callus's voice when he responded. "Alone is good," he agreed. Before this got even more awkward for him, Kanan spoke up. "Maybe check to make sure you actually are first," Kanan called. Embarrassment and irritation flooded the Force. "Kanan," Zeb groaned. Kanan chuckled. "I've been out here for over an hour meditating. I was here first, and I don't need to be able to see you two to know what was going to happen. You're practically screaming intentions in the Force. Get a room." In a clipped tone, Callus replied, "Certainly, Kanan. Garazeb, this was a terrible idea." Zeb groaned. "Never gonna hear the end of this." Grinning to himself, Kanan tried to turn back to his meditation as they walked away. He'd have to tell Hera about this later. It would make her smile, and that was all too rare these days. Two, Hera. Hera didn't pretend to understand how Zeb could have such serious feelings for Callus given everything. But it wasn't her place to judge, not once she was sure that Callus had seriously committed to the rebellion. They were adults, she wouldn't interfere. And honestly, she wanted Zeb to be able to find whatever happiness he could. Life was so short, as every loss the rebellion suffered reminded them. None of them were guaranteed tomorrow, so they needed to make the most of every day. She and Kanan had learned that. Now Zeb and Callus were too. But she was already getting tired of catching them in the middle of making out like horny teenagers right there in the Ghost's galley. especially when they were leaning against the table in a way that suggested it wasn't going to stay at just making out for much longer. They all ate at that table. With a sigh, she interrupted them. "I'm happy you're happy, but please stop acting worse than any of the kids," she teased. Zeb groaned and pulled away from Callis, looking only a little chagrined. Callis, whose hair was thoroughly mussed, looked mortified. "I apologize, Hera," Callis forced out. "It won't happen again." Hera grinned. "Good. If it does, you two are going to sanitize that table." Callis winced as Zeb just rolled his eyes. "Oh, come on, Hera," Zeb protested. "It's not like we were that bad." Putting a hand on her hip, Hera shot him an unimpressed look. It was Zeb's turn to grimace. "Right, sorry." Softening, Hera said, "You know I don't mind you showing affection in public. You just need to stay mindful of where in public you are and who is around, as well as what, exactly, you're doing. For what I just walked in on, get a room." Nodding, Callis agreed. "Yes, we did get a bit carried away," he admitted. "We'll keep that in mind." Hera smiled. "That's all I ask, boys." Callis's wristcom beeped and he sighed. "It would appear my break is over," he lamented. "I must go." With an apologetic smile, he slipped out of the room and off the ship. Turning to Zeb, Hera eyed him with an assessing look. Zeb held up a hand. "Yeah, yeah, the room next time. Got it." Hera shook her head fondly and went back in search of the missing tool that had brought her into the galley in the first place. Three, Cassian. It had taken Cassian quite a while to warm up to Alexander Callis, given Callis's past. For the rebellion to succeed, they needed people to see that the Empire was wrong. That meant welcoming Imperials, like Callis, who saw the truth and wanted to defect. It didn't mean forgetting what they had done, but it meant giving them the chance to do good instead. Cassian could accept that. Eventually, they bonded, especially over their shared use of the codename Fulcrum. Cassian came to have a great respect for Callis and his skills. But right now, he was ready to throw something at the man's head. He didn't begrudge Callis the relationship he shared with Garazeb Aurelius. Not at all. He was glad for them. It was just that they could often be distracting. At least they were anytime Zeb poked his head into the intelligence offices, something he had done just a few moments before. Glancing up from his datapad, Cassian frowned. Zeb leaned against the console that Callis was working at. His shoulder was awfully close to Callis's. Shaking his head, Cassian turned back to his work. At least they were being quiet for once. Small mercies. He'd barely thought that when Zeb spoke, making Cassian curse himself for jinxing it. "Come on, Cal," Zeb urged. "Just a short break. This is the best sparring weather we've had in ages." Idly, Cassian wondered if Zeb was interested in a spar or a spar. Not that he really wanted an answer. That was more than he really wanted to know about his friend. Still, he was a spy and some things were hard to turn off, so he wondered it all the same. "Garazeb," Callis said lowly, tone nowhere near as stern as Cassian assumed he intended it for it to be. "I am working." Zeb sighed. "I can see that. But is it work that has to be done now, or can you take a break?" Callis looked back at the console. "This is time-sensitive, I'm afraid," he admitted. Slumping in defeat, Zeb said, "Fine, I'll leave you to it then." For a few hours, they had no interruptions. Then Zeb came back. He leaned in close to Callis. "At least come have mid-meal. I know you skipped eating this morning. Even your mind needs fuel." Callis leaned a little closer before replying, "I appreciate that you worry." Cassian groaned. "Some of us intelligence operatives are trying to get some work done here," he declared. "Let him take you to the mess. Get a room. Something. Anything." At least Callis had the decency to look a little embarrassed when he realized they had been causing a distraction. Zeb, on the other hand, seemed to have no such shame. See, even your friend thinks you should take a break, Zeb teased with a smirk. Callus glared. I will sleep in my own bunk tonight, he threatened. Zeb snorted. No, you won't, he declared, as he herded Callus out the door. You like sleeping with me too much. That was more than Cassian wanted to know, but was a small price to pay for an uninterrupted afternoon. Four, Sabine. Things were definitely different since she returned from Mandalore. Zeb having a thing with Agent, no, not Agent anymore, Callus, was one of those changes. Callus had done terrible things as an imp, and it was a well-known fact that Mandalorians held grudges better than anyone else. But in this, given her own Imperial history, she didn't have as much room to judge him as some did. And if Zeb decided that he wanted a romantic relationship with Callus in spite of all that, that wasn't her place to judge at all. But she was already tired of finding bits of Zeb's fur in places it didn't belong, places it had never been before. It implied all sorts of things she did not want to think about. She was happy if they were happy, but getting physical anywhere and everywhere like a couple of teenage cadets was ridiculous. Granted, privacy was a rare commodity, both on the Ghost itself and within the larger rebellion complex, but still. Also, the one cushion on the bench in the galley had a rip in it that looked suspiciously like it was caused by one of Zeb's claws. Property destruction was only cool when it was Imperial property they were destroying, not the ship that had been their home for so long. I don't care what you two get up to as long as you keep it in your bunk, Sabine told them at mid-meal, when the two were once again giving each other looks that did not belong at the dining table. Ezra huffed around a bite of his sandwich. But that's my bunk, too. Sabine shrugged and snagged a baked tuber slice. That's not my problem, she informed him. Grinning, she said, I'm sure there's a meditation you could do to distract yourself. Ezra sighed heavily, and Sabine just smirked before popping the slice of tuber in her mouth. Some things with this part of her family had changed, but others definitely hadn't. Five, Ezra. Ezra had complicated feelings about Callus. He'd done so much to hurt them when he was with the Empire, but he'd also risked so much to be Fulcrum, which is why he'd been willing to take a risk to try to pull him out. And Callus worked so hard as part of Rebel Intelligence now. Still, trying to put what he actually thought of the man into words was hard. It made it even harder to understand Zeb's relationship with Callus. Dating a man who had done so much to harm Zeb's people seemed unfathomable to Ezra. But Zeb was doing it. It's not that Ezra judged him, he just didn't get it. Unfortunately, they were in the ridiculous romance hollow stage. That Ezra definitely did judge them for. Ezra tried to focus on eating his pancakes, but it was hard given the way Zeb was quietly whispering to Callus, their heads bent close as they spoke. The look Callus gave Zeb was incredibly soft and fond. Zeb's was even worse. He couldn't take it anymore. Really, Zeb? Ezra groaned. Right in front of my pancakes? Zeb looked bewildered, while Callus looked at him as if he'd taken leave of his senses. Across the table, Kanan put his head in his hands and Hera smothered a laugh behind her hand. What are you on about? Zeb demanded. Callus shook his head. I do believe he's expressing dismay at our closeness. Nodding, Ezra was glad to see at least one of them understood. You're both way too old to be acting like you're in a bad teenage romance hollow, he declared. That didn't quite get the reaction he anticipated. Who are you calling old? Zeb demanded, as Callus asked, Watch many of those, do you, Jabba? Hera lost the battle with her laughter, and Kanan let his head fall to the table with a plonk. Ezra groaned. Seriously, you two, get a room, he grumbled. You do remember Zeb's room is also yours. He had no idea when Sabine had walked in, but her words made him freeze. On second thought, he said hastily, embrace the bad teenage romance, Hollow. Go find an empty storage closet or something. Zeb squawked indignantly as Callis snorted. Hera leaned against Kanan, who was now murmuring to the table about ridiculous Padawans, as she tried to rein in her laughter. Ezra's family was officially the worst. Plus one, the time they decided it for themselves. This still felt like a novelty, or like something he didn't deserve to have. But Alexander Callis knew he was a selfish man. If he could have this with Zeb, he was going to take it and hold on tight. With a contented sigh, he cuddled closer to Zeb's side, uncaring of the Yavin 4 heat. Everything okay? Zeb asked, arm tightening its hold around him. Callis smiled into his soft fur. Yes, he assured. Just content. Happy, even. This is nice. You're right. We needed to take this time before you left for Lothal. They both knew that the moment the ghost departed, he was going to bury himself in his work to stop from thinking, from worrying. He'd go with them if he could, but Rebel Command was insistent he remain on Yavin 4. Theoretically, he could disobey, but it would jeopardize everything he'd worked for. He wouldn't do that. Instead, he had to trust that those who were going back to Lothal could handle it. I'm going to miss you, Zeb said quietly. Swallowing hard, Callis nodded. I'm going to miss you too. I expect you to come back to me, preferably all in one piece, but I will accept minor injuries if necessary. Zeb laughed. I'll do my best, he assured. Callis smiled faintly. I know, Garazeb. He stroked Zeb's chest slowly for several long moments. Zeb tilted his head so he could rest it against Callis's. Take care of yourself while I'm gone, Zeb said sternly. Callis curled a little closer. I will. After a few more moments, Zeb grinned. We leave tomorrow, so what do you say we get a room for the rest of the evening? He asked. Callis laughed. Marvelous idea. He couldn't think of a better way to spend their last night together before Zeb left for Lothal. The end.